Hello and welcome to episode 3 of part 2 of the Learning to Program in Python tutorials, in which we are making a Guess the Numbers game. So far, we've touched on the first utility function, the modules we're going to be using, as well as a couple of other very interesting things. Before we get down into brass tacks and start doing a bit of coding, let's talk about the sounds we're going to need for this game. I like to plan games out a little bit. I don't always follow the plans, and sometimes the plans get screwed up and thrown in the bin and new ones written, but I at least know the basics of what I'm going to need. For example, for this game, we are going to need a couple of sounds. First of all, we are going to need sounds of someone saying the numbers 1 to 9. I've got these sounds already, I pre-recorded those of my good self and put them in a folder. We are also going to need a win and a lose sound, which I personally just used a cheering crowd and a booing crowd. Then we will also need a voice for the game. Now, I am building this game very bare bones with very little finesse, and in that regard I have only got a sound for play the game and a sound for quit the game. They will be used in our main menu. Were you to release this game, you may also want an introduction sound. You may want a voice section to tell you how many guesses you have left. For example, in our game, we are going to give the user 3 guesses. So you might want a voice or a sound clip or a voice saying you have 3 guesses left, you have 2 guesses left, you have 1 guess left. The final two sounds that we are probably going to use at this stage in the game at least is a sound for telling the user to go lower and a sound to tell them to go higher. Again, I've pre-recorded myself for those. They're the sounds we're going to need. And talking of sounds, let's crack on with some code and talk about exactly how we're going to play these sounds. As discussed in the previous episodes, Pygame comes ready built in with a way to play sounds. In fact, it comes with many, depending whether it's music, depending whether you want to play just a single sound, or depending how you want to go around things. I am going to teach you how to use the Pygame mixer. The mixer is an object of the Pygame library, so we access it whenever we want to call it. We access it as Pygame, P-Y-G-A-M-E, dot mixer, M-I-X-E-R. The reason I am going to teach you how to use this specific object, as it were, is because it will come in very useful when you get into higher games and software where you want to play multiple sounds at once, which the mixer has the capability to do. And the way it does this is when you play a sound, it assigns it to a channel. I believe by default the mixer starts with 8 channels, but you can change this. Google will tell you how. It's pretty simple, just calling a function. You can think of these channels like a TV channel. So on each channel you have a sound. For example, channel 1 might have the cheering crowd, channel 2 might have the booing crowd, and so on and so forth. While channel 1 is playing this cheering sound, if I then tell it play the boo sound, it will stop playing the cheering sound and start the boo sound. That's basically what you need to know for the mixer object. Anything else we'll cover a little bit later on. So let's crack on with our first utility function, which is probably one of the biggest ones we will repeatedly use, which is of course the play function. Now remember, we use utility functions to make it easier on us, the coders, because yeah, we could write out the code for each sound and how we want it to be played. We could create the object, we could assign it to the channel, we could, if we wanted it to wait, we could write the loop for that. Why bother? Just write it all into a function and call a function. That's the point of a utility function. And in that regard, just to keep it nice and simple, I've called mine play. Def play, as you can see, sound name, channel, and wait are the arguments. Sound name is the name of the file we want to play. Channel is what channel we want to play it on, and wait is whether we should wait for the sound to complete or not. you might lay this out differently. Again, it's entirely... In fact, if you did write it out differently, it would be better for you because you are learning rather than just copying and pasting. Next line. As you can see, we now create a sound object. We call it... I've just called it sound object. Very creative. And the way we do this, we create a Pygame sound object. It looks pretty straightforward. Pygame.mixer.sound, left parenthesis, sound name, right parenthesis. This basically, for Pygame, tells Pygame load this file into the memory, create a sound object and set all the details up for it, and then return it so that we can use it. So we now have a sound object called sound underscore object. Note, important note, is note the capitalization in that function call. Next line. Pygame.mixer.channel, left parenthesis, channel.play, left parenthesis, sound object, right parenthesis. Whew! That looks complicated. Break it down. Let's see what's going on. So first of all, pygame.mixer. We know all about the pygame.mixer. That's what we're using to play sounds. Channel, left parenthesis, channel, right parenthesis. Now remember, we had the variable channel in our function call. We are literally telling Pygame which channel we're referring to. So if I wanted to play the cheer sound on channel 1, this function call would look like pygame.mixer.channel left parenthesis 1, right parenthesis, which tells Pygame I want to do something with channel 1, and then dot play sound, right parenthesis, dot play left parenthesis sound, right parenthesis. Pretty straightforward. What this does, it obtains the channel object, and then it tells that channel object play sound object. We could perceivably break this down. What we could have is channel underscore object equals pygame.mixer.channel left parenthesis channel. Left parenthesis channel right parenthesis. Then we could call channel object.play sound object. Whichever you prefer. Quite honestly, when I do this in code, I don't even create the sound object. I just put it all on one nice big line. Again, it's your choice and how you wish to break things down. This will begin the playback of our sound. Congratulations. Let's say we wanted to stop this sound. How would we go about that? In other languages, if you have graduated over from BlastBay Games Toolkit, for example, you would call the sound object.stop. And it's very similar to that, except we're not going to call the sound object because we've now assigned that to the channel. Channel 1 is playing our sound, so we're just going to tell channel 1 to stop with pygame.mixer.channel, left parenthesis channel, right parenthesis, dot stop. If we wanted channel 1 to stop, that would be pygame.mixer.channel, left parenthesis 1, right parenthesis, dot stop. And that's a function, so that would be left parenthesis, right parenthesis at the end, no arguments necessary. I have not provided that line of code, as I will leave that up to you to experiment with, which you can do so in your command line if you wish. It's all great fun. The functions you can use with the channel object, and indeed the entire mixer itself, is of course documented by Pygame on their website, which you can obtain through Google. Now, moving on then. If weight equals equals 1, what does this mean? It literally means if the weight variable is equal to 1, so if we want this sound to, if we want the game to pause while this sound is played, while pygame.mixer.channel, left parenthesis channel, right parenthesis, dot get busy equals equals true. Note the capitalization again, very important. What does this do? Let's break it down. So we're getting our channel object and we are calling the function getBusy. If it's busy, it returns true. If it's not, it returns false. Alright, so we are querying then, is the channel object busy, i.e. is it playing something? If it is, keep executing this loop. If not, don't do this loop. And we are saying, while the channel is busy, do something. And what are we doing? We have two lines in this loop. The first one, event loop. I will explain why we call that in just a moment. Let's move on to the second line first, which says time.sleep left parenthesis 0.1 right parenthesis. In your code, you may have just written sleep left parenthesis 0.1 right parenthesis. And if you originally imported the time module as from time import sleep, that will work fine. If you imported it as import time, however, you will need to use time.sleep. So, as you can see, we are calling the function sleep on the module time, and we are passing it the argument 0.1. This will suspend our program for a tenth of a second. If I wanted to suspend our program for 5 seconds, then I would do time.sleep left parenthesis 5 right parenthesis. So in that regard, why are we calling the event loop within this loop? Because otherwise our Python program would crash. Windows and other operating systems will look at a program and say, okay, do they have an active event loop that's not being blocked? If they do, great, it's running. If not, you get that funky little thing that pops up that says, program, not responding. Nasty, we don't want that. And that's why we call the event loop, to make sure that while we are waiting for this sound to finish playing, we call the event loop and make sure that the game can process any events that pop up, be that a request to shut the program from Task Manager, be that a keystroke from the player, or anything else that may occur that you're looking for. And we do this just by calling the function event loop, because we are in a loop itself with the while loop there. So we're just looping over, are there any events to do? Nope, great. Then we wait 0.1 seconds, try again, and again, and again. I'm so glad I'm not a computer, because quite honestly, I would get bored. And that's it. That is your play function. As you become more developed in programming and do higher projects, you will probably expand upon this. For example, most of my games carry a play function which handles panning the sound, the volume of the sound, whether to loop the sound or not, and so on and so forth. That's a little bit beyond this tutorial, but you can see the fantastic thing about this function is you just add to it when you want, and you just adapt. That was quite a lot to take in. So if you want to take 5 minutes to pause this tutorial, go grab a drink, then please do. If not, let's carry straight on. Our second utility function is the one that we will use a lot again. This one has a specific purpose. It tells us, is this key pressed or not? Remember, in our event loop, when a key was pressed, we assigned it to the globals.keypress. And now, this is the function we will use to ask the ask Python, as it were, if the key press was something. Does that make any sense? It did to me. It didn't sound right, but that did make sense to me. So for example, in our game, we want to know, is the key that the user just pressed the number one? If it is, do something. If it's number two, do something. If it's number three, do something. If it's the left control key, shoot the gun, kill the enemy, blow up the tutorial, job done, end of story. And in Blast Bay Games Toolkit, for example, you would call if key pressed key F. And for ease, and as a transformation, that was the method I recoded into Python, pretty much. So that's how we're going to do things. But to do that, we need to set up a utility function, first of all, called key pressed. So, as you can see, def key pressed key as an argument. The first line, if globals.keypressed equals equals zero, basically says if no keys have been pressed yet, then it's obviously not going to be anything. So we just return zero. No point going onwards. Then if globals.keypressed equals equals key, Then we reset the stored key, return one, and then return zero. Now, note the indentation there, because otherwise what I just said makes very little sense. Why return one and then return zero? You can only return once. Note the indentation. The return one is in the if statement. The return two, the return zero is out of the if statement. So there's a couple of obvious questions, first of all. Why are we resetting the keystroke after it's pressed? Imagine you have your game loop right here in front of you right now, and you're saying, okay, if the key's pressed key number one, then I want the game to make a cheering sound, which is all fine and dandy until the user actually presses one. I've pressed one, and the game goes, oh, he pressed one, let's play that sound. So it starts the playing of the sound and restarts the loop and says, oh, look, he still pressed one, let's play it again. And again, and again, until you have 6,000 cheering sounds deafening you and absolutely crashing your computer. Great job. So, we reset it to zero. We say, basically, is the key, the last key pressed number one? Yes, it is. Excellent. Then set that to zero. We return one and say, yes, it was. Job done. Because next time we go down the loop, and say, has key number one been pressed again? The computer says, not yet. Now, arguably, lines 1 and 2 are superfluous. You don't technically need them. I like them in there, you don't have to have them, which shortens your code a little bit. Essentially, this utility function asks, is a key pressed? Was it this key? If not, return 0. If it was this key, then return 1. And that's it. That is it. We have one more big utility function to go, and then we will actually code the game itself. I hope you're keeping up so far and aren't too confused, and in the next tutorial you will see how this is going to start shaping up rather well. I've been Nathan Smith, and I'm looking forward to the next tutorial, and I hope you are as well. Thank you.